I'll say this without equivocation, Lee. 2-3 years ago, that would have never happened.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, is here with Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Ira is the water damage whisperer. He is Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. We are fired up, Ira, because we're a day removed. We've been able to sit back, think about this a little bit more. It's Monday night. We had our last podcast. People can still catch that at JoeBucksFan.com, Podbean, Podcast Addict, wherever.
We were at Gate C9, and now we're back in our friendly confines of Panera Bread. And here we go. I got home before midnight, Steve. My wife was stunned. What are you doing home so early? I think she was a little pissed off about it. But I said, Isbitz got us on that flight, and I flew home. I did the Lee DeKemper. Took the toll road, Steve, in the middle of the night. Toll road. Paid $3 to get home a little quick.
There you go. All right, Ira, look, we have got a lot to talk about here. We haven't addressed Zion McCollum's new contract.
That's right.
We were saving that for Lee. We haven't addressed Jamel Dean's restructured, take a lot less money contract. We'll talk about that. We've got, I got a chance to watch the game again. Some points there. All kinds of chatter coming out.
Can you throw a better ball than Mayfield's second touchdown pass to Egbuka? Can you throw a better ball than that?
He threw a few good ones, Ira.
He didn't have a chance to step up on that. I watched that play 5 times. There was some inside pressure. He just flipped it. Boy, he's got a strong arm, Lee. Strong. What a pass. The coverage wasn't that bad.
No, the coverage wasn't that bad at all, Ira. Matter of fact, it was a hair shorter. It may have been broken up.
I saw a breakdown, Steve. I don't know if you saw it. Somebody was breaking it down. They said it was a smart play because they had Evans running a shorter pattern, and Jesse Bates, they noticed during the game, he was creeping up.
Bates bit on Evans.
But just because Bates bit on Evans, they still had Egbuka pretty well covered. It took a great pass. First touchdown to Egbuka. That wasn't a bad pass either.
No, it was not. Tell me that did not look like Chris Godwin. That first touchdown pass. You know, the thing that got me so jacked up about that game was, I'll be honest, you know, at training camp, I kept telling myself, calm down, calm down.
He can't be this good.
This guy's not Jerry Rice. Calm down. And I didn't want to jinx everything. I didn't want to write every day, oh, my God, the guy's making this play, that play. But he was. But I kept, you know, he's a rookie. This is underwear football. This is training camp. They're working on different things. Just calm down, calm down. And I'm glad all Bucks fans got to see on Sunday what I've been seeing for the past 6 weeks, 2 months. You know, thinking of that touchdown, close my eyes and think it's number 12 or 14, excuse me. That was Godwin. It was a mirror image of Godwin.
Can you imagine how proud Light was on that flight home? Just thinking about, I might have struck it rich again in the first round with a guy. He must have been one proud puppy.
You know, I think he knew that weeks ago. I think he knew it weeks ago. And yeah, sure, he was had to be happy as hell. It was just such an ugly game. Watching it again, it's still mind-blowing of a game. The back and forth and the ugliness and the sloppiness and some great plays in that game as well. So,
Lee, the last 5 minutes literally took 35 minutes. You ever seen anything like it?
Oh, I'm sure
I can't imagine what it was like at home watching.
I didn't like the vibe. I put this out on Twitter. I said, I do not like the vibe of this. And what I meant by that was the last 5 minutes you're talking about, every close play seemed to be going Atlanta's way. Whether it was a referee's call, whether it was a first down, oh, they get it by half a yard, or Penix stretching out for that touchdown, and he didn't fumble it. I mean, every call.
Except the Drake London call. Was that in the last 5 minutes when they ruled incomplete, when they didn't have a really great angle on the, remember when he caught the ball falling down?
FYI.
That one they called incomplete. That one.
Yeah, and it was, by the way, Jonathan Vilma. Jonathan Vilma actually said, well, the ball's allowed to touch the ground. I'm like, are you talking about a punt?
Yeah. And I thought Penix scored on that play, Lee.
Did you?
I thought he scored. Steve, you were in the locker room after me in one of the Bucks when I said, I think Penix scored. The Buccaneer player said, are you kidding me? He didn't score. I thought he outstretched his hand.
It reminded me what he did to Penn State a couple years ago when he was at Indiana. Almost the exact same play.
I thought he reached it before his knee touchdown.
I did not like the vibe because everything was going Atlanta's way. And then when McLaughlin missed that extra point, I'm like, here we go. I thought, sure, Atlanta was going to get a touchdown there. You know.
Tell DeKemper who my fantasy kicker is.
Oh, boy. Cuckoo, Cuckoo?
Chase McLaughlin.
Oh, okay.
Chase McLaughlin.
Real quick, Ira, you're in the 60s sitcoms. The saying, is the very popular 60s sitcom, Cuckoo Ca-Choo. What's that mean to you?
Cuckoo Ca-Choo is a famous saying from Mrs. Robinson, Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, I have no idea about
Cuckoo Ca-Choo. That was from a TV show? You tell me Paul Simon stole that from his Heroes. It wasn't Gilligan's Island.
Ding, 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 ding.
Gilligan's Island.
And who sang it?
Howl.
Please.
It wasn't the professor. It wasn't Ginger. And it wasn't Marianne.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. See, this is why.
A slinky dressed Marianne.
I'll take Marianne over Ginger.
Yes, I would do.
All right, there you go.
And Bailey over the blonde chick.
Don't worry, drive Curry.
You're not joining this thing about Gilligan's Island?
New 2025 Ford Bronco Sport Big Bend. Lease it now for $298 a month for 36 months. Get all the details. It's all at BillCurryFord.com. Since 1960, family owned. Now, you have to check out their mobile service. They literally work on your vehicle at your property, if that's what you want, for no extra charge. It's not a joke. You can schedule it, and if you have to have your vehicle brought back to Bill Curry Ford, you're not going to pay for that. If they have to do something more extensive with
it, they'll bring it back.
And they'll get it back. Full service. They've got loaner vehicles, free loaners, whatever you need. They're accommodating. Body shop there, of course, and tremendous inventory. Ira Kaufman discount is always in effect. You just ask Sean Sullivan, the general manager, for it, and get to their website. That's what we can ask you to do.
And service department open Sunday, Steve. Open Sunday.
Sundays for express service. BillCurryFord.com. See their many 0% financing offers now. Many others. BillCurryFord.com. So, Ira, let's focus on Jamel Dean. They cut his salary from whatever it was, $12 million and change, down to $4 million and change. And he's now a free agent after this season. That's a massive savings, a massive win by Jason Light. Suppose Dean said, no, screw you. I'll take my chances. Then what?
They would have cut him.
You think so?
Okay, well, who'd be starting at outside cornerback? Injured
Parrish.
Benjamin Morrison?
Parrish.
Parrish?
Parrish.
And who'd be playing nickel?
Until Morrison's ready.
Who'd be playing nickel? Injured Izian? It would have been a messy situation for the Bucs to a degree, especially if, like, as Lee's opinion, Dean had the best training camp.
I feel supported now, Lee, about what I've been yakking about with the if they really believed in the guy, Lee, would they put him up against the wall like that?
No, I mean, that tells me he's
not long for it. He's
going to be an ex-Buccaneer in a couple of months.
It tells me he's got the job because Morrison's not ready yet. That's what it tells me.
It tells me that they wanted to keep him because he was experienced and he wasn't that bad. But he, you know, and Bowles has actually admitted this. He's got to stay on the field. And they weren't confident that he could stay on the field.
If he thought he could get a better deal this year in free agency, if they cut him and he's on the market,
he would have been gone.
He wouldn't have taken that deal. So maybe words around the league that he would have had a soft market.
Or he's got a lousy agent.
That's the first thing I thought.
He's got a bad agent because he's a legitimate NFL starter. I know a lot of fans don't like him. They're frustrated with him, whatever.
Tough face mask penalty yesterday, Lee, right in front of you. Face mask penalty.
Yeah, but you know what? Who would you rather have in there? Maybe Parrish. I don't know. But I mean, I'm a big Parrish guy. But
I'm eager to get Morrison on the field.
Now, we don't know. Did the Bucs try to trade him? Explore a trade where maybe they ate some of the money and his agent? I don't know. But it sounds like usually you don't see this kind of disparity with the guy was going to make this and now he's making, you know, two-thirds less. They've done restructured deals like they did one with Russell Gage. They cut his salary in a similar way years ago, and they've done it before, but never to this extreme. And
it's pretty extreme, Lee. It's pretty extreme.
To me, it's like, well, the Bucs probably had this knowing that, hey, one reason we're drafting both of these corners is so we can squeeze Dean for less money and have real leverage. I don't know. It seems like a master play by Jason Light.
I also think they wanted to keep him because if things break right, this team should make a run. And I don't know if you make a run with a rookie and only 2 years starter on the other side.
Maybe they make a run with Dean as the third corner.
You start with him as a starter and pray he doesn't get hurt, which that's probably a bad prayer. But, I mean, I still believe down in and down out, he's the best cornerback. You know, I can only go by training camp as far as this year. He would give Evans a hell of a challenge, and he did give Joe.
When you look at Buck contracts, it doesn't look like the Bucks think that way. Looks like they think that
McCollum's
better.
Yeah. So now McCollum got a three-year deal, three-year extension, similar money to Carlton Davis, and $35 million guaranteed or so, a little bit less per year, but a big money deal, top 10-ish kind of cornerback money. You think they should have made him prove it, guys?
I think it's a little prematurely. I would have waited a little bit with McCollum. I would have waited a little bit. I didn't see a rush for it.
I love him as a person. I'm not convinced he's a top-shelf starter.
Whereas you are convinced the right tackle is worth the money.
Yes.
Yes, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Now, I'm not saying McCollum can't be a top-shelf starter, but I have not seen that yet. I've seen an ability that if he's more consistent, he would be a top-shelf corner, but I haven't seen that you can give him top-shelf money right away. But, you know, don't give up a young cornerback.
We might have mentioned it at the airport, but I think it's worth repeating and Lee weighing in.
What, the price of beer?
The run defense was spectacular against Bijan Robinson, who has very few peers as a running back.
Well, I love Bijan Robinson, but I think maybe, to be fair, after Atlanta's second drive, they got shut down, their running game. Got shut down after
the
second drive.
Those two guys carried 24 times between them and got nowhere. And the Buck rush defense the last year or two hasn't been stellar. Hasn't been stellar.
No, they had a good day.
Vita Vea was very strong. Very strong.
But I agree. Why was he not on the field that last play?
A couple of plays, it was strange that he wasn't on the field. But he did play a high percentage for him, 70%.
Oh, that's a good number.
Kancey played the same amount of snaps. I like the rotation better with Charlie Strong or however they were doing it. Reddick played about 80% of the snaps. The run defense was excellent. They gave credit to Kancey for like the big fourth and one stop, but it was really Vea.
It was Vea.
What happened was the in-house, for fans who don't realize, there's like an official scorer helper in-house at a game that spits out to the media and usually spits out to the game announcer, in stadium announcer, who made a tackle.
Spotters.
Who made a play. And they were saying it was Kancey, but it wasn't. They got it wrong. The Atlanta people in charge got the Bucs' names wrong a handful of times. But it was Vea who made that huge play, and he made some others, too.
I want a little more out of Kancey, Lee. A little more out of Kancey. I didn't notice him that much.
No, but I'm not throwing a towel on the guy.
I think he can do much better.
You will love what I'm about to say, and maybe I'm jumping around here. If I am, I apologize. The play of the game on defense was Winfield splashing Hodge on the 8-yard line. He walks into the end zone.
Big
he
play.
Makes that catch.
Big play.
That was a monster play. Nah. That was a game because the Bucs were going to come back. Well, that would have put him up 4 points.
Steve, with your kind permission, let me get our partner going over here a little bit. No, you're going to love this, Lee. I'm watching.
The blonde from Pensacola?
I'm watching the first snap. The very first snap after the kickoff. And what do I see? I got the specs on, and I'm looking right at Hassan Reddick. Mm-hmm. And you know where he is? Almost in the left flat.
It doesn't
seem. And I said to Steve, the Kemper's going to go nuts when he sees this.
Do I like it? Of course not. But I heard your podcast from the airport, and I heard you say that I'm going to go nuts. You know, I've come to the conclusion that's the way it's going to be as long as Todd Bowles is defensive coordinator. And nothing's going to change him. You could have brought in you could have brought in Micah Parsons.
Garrett.
You could bring in Lawrence Taylor in his prime. And Bowles have him drop back on 70% of the dropbacks.
I'll tell you what will change it. Is
if Glazer orders him.
No, if it was Parsons and he was very successful with the Bucs and was killing it and said, I'm not doing it anymore. He'd win out.
Oh, yeah.
He'd win that battle. If Reddick has 6 sacks in 4 games and says to Bowles, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not effective. I'm not comfortable. It's messing me up. I think he'll win out.
Did you notice when Reddick lined up on the left edge how wide he was? He was extreme wide.
Moved all over the place. He was all over the place. Bowles said today that lining up Reddick off the line of scrimmage early in the first quarter, they were trying to confuse the Falcons, give him different looks. He sort of tied it to the run defense. A little bit, and he had opportunities for more sacks.
Bowles thinks he should have had another sack or two.
Reddick did too.
Well, he came close. Ben Solak went through the film of that game. He swears, he put this out on Twitter Monday morning. I want to say 4, maybe 5 snaps, Reddick lined up as an off-ball linebacker.
Yeah, off the line of scrimmage early in the game, yeah.
Are you surprised at Levante David's tone when talking about Servassier Dennis?
Surprised, yet welcomed.
Why?
Welcomed.
What did you see?
I saw an albatross out there. In pass coverage, he was pathetic. Now, he did turn around, he made some plays, he was good against the run, had some good hits, But there were too many plays like, oh, my gosh, what's going on here? And for Bowles to get ticked off and pull him off the field, the TV cameras caught Bowles chewing him out. He needed to be chewed out. There were some plays out there. It was like, what's going on? And maybe, as much as I hate to admit it, maybe that was Exhibit A of why these dudes should play worthless preseason games. I don't know.
What do you think David meant by that?
We talked about it. It was pretty clear. He had a bad day. He was struggling early.
You mean bad angles? What was he doing? I mean, not hustling?
He didn't look as fast as he usually was. Look, David was saying, look, you got to be playing your A game from the first snap. And that wasn't what was happening. He maybe got overwhelmed. He's calling the plays. You know, he's got the green dot, calling the plays. It was loud out there. Was this his first start? It may have been. I don't remember.
Detroit last year, maybe?
But he hasn't played a ton, and he didn't. Yeah, they needed to snap him out of it. So I'm glad Bowles pulled him out for a series or a few snaps. I think it was only three snaps. Because that's the kind of stuff he's needed to do in the past with other players and hasn't done it. And it was good to see him actually do it. I like that.
Lee, Robinson leaks out into the right flat, and there's nobody near him, and he runs for 50 yards on a play that should be 6 yards?
Yeah.
What's going on?
But he made good plays, too. His tackle numbers were
there. I'm not talking about Dennis on that play. I'm just talking about the Buck defense. You got to pay attention to Robinson.
Yeah, I don't know who was at fault there or what Bowles called, but thankfully they corrected it. Because, as you pointed out a little bit ago, the rush defense was sound.
The Bucks defense was the Bucks defense. And that was the sad part. It didn't look any better.
It was okay. It was okay.
And this is not a great offense that they face. This is not some sort of top 10 juggernaut over there.
Houston's not a great offense either.
No. Going back to the defense, Ira, the huge play by Winfield, which Brian Baldinger even did a breakdown
on. That looked like
the
old Winfield.
It did. And that was so encouraging.
Yes.
And the pass rush, you know, Bowles talking about, oh, he liked the way they rushed, but they didn't finish. Just stop it. That doesn't count.
All we care about is finishing.
I like the way we run the fast break, but we don't make the layups. I mean, stop. Just stop it.
I came up with a better word, Ira. I'm just resigned that Bowles, no matter what, that's his defense, and that's not going to change. So.
Lee, a big play out of special teams on a punt return? Lee, are we used to that?
Of all people, Cameron Johnson.
So, yeah, kudos to Bowles for making that decision.
Yeah,
right?
Good call, apparently.
Keep him on the roster. He's the punt returner. I don't trust Tez Johnson. And Cameron Johnson rewards him with the best return and like
set up a touchdown.
A huge play in the game as well. So Bowles deserves all the credit for that because that was a decision that I don't think anybody expected.
Steve's a little concerned about Bucky Irving. Lee, are you a little worried? Or the holes aren't there?
What I'm about to say could be very premature. But I remember when Cone took over for Canales and someone went in the Bucks organization was telling me how good Cone was at setting up run fits. And he was very, very happy and very pleased how well Cone could establish a run game. We all know that Grizzard was a pass guy. He was passing coordinator. He was passing coordinator. It's third downs. They don't mention anything about a run. So maybe he's still learning that element. Maybe it's all just that.
Bucks did do a good job on third down, Steve. So that was maintained.
Yeah, it was maintained.
Thank you, Baker Mayfield.
I think they were still 500 on third down. Mayfield running. A couple of times he ran too early, especially early in the game near the Bucks' end zone. He had a wide open dump off to Rashad White in the right flat, who actually had Cade Otton in front of him. And Mayfield decides, all right, I'm going to beat this linebacker one-on-one. He took a huge shot, gained like 3 yards. And Mayfield talked about, hey, I needed to be more patient. I didn't settle down. On the other hand,
Noli, when he converts those third downs with an 8-yard scramble, those are huge plays.
And he looked faster. I thought he looked faster running this year.
Now, it seemed like it.
I know he's not banged up yet, you know, fresh legs, but he looked faster.
But he did take some shots, Steve.
Yeah.
He
looked good, though, running. I mean, it's a huge part of the game. And Atlanta, Raheem didn't devote anybody to watch out for him. All he had to do was, like, get one step on one guy, and there he goes.
Lee, what was your initial reaction when you heard that the Bucks were scrambling? They're shuffling the offensive line.
Well, I was one heard.
Before we get to that, the offensive line's a big deal we got to talk about. One, a news alert. Joe Tryon-Shoyinka had 4 snaps for the Browns.
4 sacks?
Snaps. They decided not to use him. So that I thought was
very interesting. I heard Myles Garrett was an animal.
He was in contention to start, and they decided not to use him.
Sorry.
Florida's Elite Restoration. We have to remember everybody. Florida's Elite Restoration. Go to Google and look at their reviews. Florida's Elite Restoration. They restore properties after you've had damage at them. So, water damage, fire, flood, storm damage. Mold is a killer. You know, if you have more than a foot of mold, you really need to get a mold specialist in there, and they are a licensed mold remediation specialist. Call them 24/7. They'll come out free inspection with experts, top technology, and they'll review everything for you and let you know what needs to be done to proceed effectively. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call, and you'll get $500 back if you need to sign an agreement for them to restore properties for you. But get educated. That's what we can ask you to do. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Check out those Google reviews, 5 stars, owner Josh
and
Martin.
Call them before you call your insurance company.
Yeah, call them. If you find mold, you don't have to call your insurance company in 2 hours. No, you want to call an expert, have them look at it, and then call your insurance company. Or if you like Florida's Elite Restoration, they'll call them for you and say, hi, I represent Ira Kaufman, and we've got a mold situation.
And they know how the insurance people work, Steve.
They know how to make sure that you get what's coming to you, and they do incredible work, and they're a one-stop shop. So if you need that bathroom redone after you find mold, they can do that too. Florida's Elite Restoration, they cover the entire Tampa Bay area across the state. Owner Josh Martin, huge Bucks fan. I know he is happy today, like all Bucks fans are. So, Lee, Ira teed you up there. Your thoughts about learning that Grant Barton, new left tackle. Center, Ben Bredesen.
New left guard.
Michael Jordan at guard.
When did you find out? When did they say anything?
On radio.
I was listening live, Light's pregame spot.
Oh.
You know, I just got out. Talk about good timing. I just got out of the shower, and I walked into my office, and I heard the introduction of Light.
Did they make a big deal about it on air?
Hell yeah. I immediately pulled my phone out, started recording. And Light saying this, my jaw almost hit the floor. Like, oh, my God. And so I'm quickly, because, you know, Steve's on the road. I didn't know if he had access
to
the
audio. Yeah, I was listening.
And I just immediately started banging on the keyboard. I'm like, wait a minute. Who the hell's playing left guard? He talked about Bredesen. Now, of course, he talked about Graham Barton. And I'm like, wait a minute. Who the hell's playing left guard? He didn't say anything. I started rewinding, you know, the recording. Like, he didn't say. I'm like, oh, crap. Well, I immediately put the story up.
And my reaction immediately, Steve, was that they have no faith in Charlie Heck.
Obviously, yeah.
Obviously.
Here's the cool
thing.
Why
shuffle if you don't have to?
Bingo. Well, here's the interesting thing, Ira. I actually talked to Charlie Heck last week, Wednesday.
Heck, yeah.
You know, he was cool with talking to me, and he was breaking down how he was watching film and how much college film he'd watched of the rookies with the Falcons and how much he watched preseason. The only inclination that he gave that he wasn't going to play was he was sort of tight-lipped. And I may have mentioned it on the past podcast. I may have even written about it, but I just thought it was odd that he was tight-lipped. Now I know why it was odd. He wasn't playing. He didn't want to come out and say, well, I'm not starting.
Yeah.
Buccaneers media relations team, they went around to the media just right after the broadcast and to advise them, hey, Jason just announced this, just so you know.
That sounded choreographed to me.
And I felt like a moron. Because we were at the game, Ira, you know, we got in there, I don't know, seated by like 11:45 or something like that. And I'm looking at the warm-ups, and I'm like, looking around. Oh, this guy's doing this. Oh, there's Chris Godwin. He's here. Tristan Wirfs here playing cheerleader. And this guy's doing this. This guy's doing that. Oh, Ben Bredesen's giving an awful lot of snaps to Baker Mayfield. I guess he's the emergency center today. And that was like at noon. So I felt I blew it.
You know, I don't remember one bad snap from Bredesen.
No. In his Light spot, by the way, the pregame when he announced it, he said when they signed Bredesen, they signed him as a center. Jonathan Vilma, and Ira, you and I have mentioned this more than a couple times, ex-jocks are not journalists. They're not reporters. So Vilma was saying during the broadcast, said it twice in the first half, said it the third time in the second half, he kept saying that, yeah, I noticed Mayfield was getting snaps from Bredesen. I thought that was weird. Why would they be doing that? And I didn't hear that. Yeah,
okay.
He did say that. And he said it three times, actually. But he said it twice in the first half. And when he said this, I'm like, so did you happen to text anybody at Fox to let them know? Hell no, he didn't. But here's another thing that was very interesting. He said when he was on the field and Bredesen was taking snaps, he said it looked like the Bucs were surprised that Bredesen was playing center.
Something's very fishy about the whole thing. If you start to piece everything together, and I'll tell you why. Because Todd Bowles was like, well, hey, nobody asked. So
Bowles says we've been doing this for weeks.
He's like, oh, nobody asked, so it didn't get out. Okay, first of all, Bowles, you said I had the date up yesterday on the website. He said, I don't know how many days ago, Charlie Heck starting week one. He said it. I titled the story, I think it was State of the Charlie Heck Address or something like that. So why would you ask? Is he still starting? And this week, I promise you, I'm going to ask Bowles at some point is I'm going to pick a player and say, is he starting this week? Anyway, but they have production meetings with the television crew, right? When there's a broadcast, they usually meet Friday or Saturday with the head coach and the offensive coordinator
and
talk about the game plan or what's going on, what's been happening. So they are more intelligent during the broadcast. And it seemed to me that they didn't know in advance, the broadcasters, that about this. So the Bucks covered it up to those broadcasters intentionally, because I guarantee you their production crew asked Todd Bowles, so we got any lineup changes? I'm sure that's standard.
Of course.
And so you,
and you know heck was brought up.
So don't say nobody asked. I don't like that. Now, they covered it up, and that's fine. You know, they don't owe anybody anything, and I'm sure it confused the Falcons to a degree, but I didn't like that, Ira.
I wouldn't say it was a spectacular success, Lee, because the run game was lousy.
Exactly. Now, they protected Mayfield adequately.
Adequately.
Not great, but adequately.
I wasn't referring to the actual change on the field. I was talking about the whole process.
The process.
But I think it's a stroke of genius. To a degree.
Sort of,
it worked. Now, they would have been the biggest idiots in the land if they lost the game. Bowles would have been killed for this. Absolutely.
Especially if they lost the game on a sack.
Murdered from
now,
the line change.
I claim, Lee, without specific knowledge, I claim this might be Carberry's call. What do you think? They got to run it past Carberry.
Here's what Bowles said today. I don't know if you heard his press conference. He said, step-by-step process, Barton took some quote-unquote emergency snaps at left tackle in training camp. Just in case, you know, heck got hurt or whatever. Bowles looked at the snaps in the practice film. He goes, hey, Barton's pretty good here at left tackle. He said he went to the assistants, Carberry / Grizzard, and said, take a look at this. I'm thinking we ought to put Barton at left tackle. And then they came back to Bowles, and they said, and this is again from Bowles. They went back to Bowles after a week or so, maybe shorter, and said, you're on to something. Let's go with it.
It's gutsy, Steve. It was gutsy.
Well, here's my issue.
Gutsy.
Here's my issue.
And now Barton's going to go up against the Texans pass rush? We'll see.
Well, you're soaking my fires here. Here's the fishy part to me. Here's what bothers me. Steve mentioned it on your podcast. It's pounded into our heads that an offensive line needs continuity.
Yeah.
They got to have communication. They have to get used to each other. They have to know each other backwards and forwards. They have to read each other's minds. We're pounded. That's pounded into our head constantly. And then less than 2 weeks, you have it completely in the offensive line.
Yesterday,
really?
The Bucs said, screw continuity.
What they said was, continuity, 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 unless Charlie Heck is going to play left tackle, then sound the fire bell.
My issue is, are we really to believe that the Bucs coaching staff couldn't pick up that Heck wasn't the answer after, let's say, 3 months? You're telling me they couldn't figure this out? They admitted they're looking at film. You couldn't tell the Heck wasn't up to it? Come on.
And, Steve, just to calm down Buck fans out there, when Wirfs comes back, everything's going back to normal. Period.
I would hope
Bredesen's
so.
Going to left guard, and Barton's going to center.
And these people that are trying to stoke the fires that Barton's going to be the left guard, that's nonsense.
That's right? Nonsense. But they wanted Bredesen back. They could have let him go in free agency.
Thank you.
They wanted him back.
To paraphrase a Steve Dumig line, I smell the PFF tribe. These people hate Bredesen, and I can't figure out why. He's on one of the best offensive lines in the country. What the hell?
I'll trust the
Bucs'
evaluation.
The question is, do the Bucs continue with this alignment? Now, we don't know if, and Bowles isn't going to say, he's not going to say, well, we like the matchup against Atlanta, and we may go back to Charlie Heck against Tennessee, Texas, because of the Texans, excuse me, because of the X and Y. He's not going to say that. So I don't know if this is real or not.
After a win, are you going to make a change?
They shouldn't.
They might. And, well, now here's something just to think about, okay? Just like I told you guys months ago when, what's his name, the former Bucs running back who's been in the media lately.
Oh, Edmonds?
Chase Edmonds. When he told that story on, I forget what podcast, he told the story about how Jamel Dean's the cheapest guy in America. And I talked about here, I said, if he's
cheap.
I said right here on the podcast, if he's the cheapest guy in America, then Jason Light needs to go squeeze him and say, I'm cutting your contract in half, because he'll take it if he's scared to lose $5 million.
Yeah, you've been yakking about that a lot.
So anyway, if Barton is smart, and he's a Duke guy, very smart guy, if he plays great at left tackle for the next two or three games, isn't he going to want his chance to play left tackle in the National Football League and make 50% more money?
Yep.
That seems logical to me.
It's a small sample size, Steve.
It's a small sample size, but not in Graham Barton's mind. If he's out there and does well for three games, it's like, shit, I can play left tackle. I don't have to renew as a center.
More importantly, in Graham Barton's agent's mind.
And then there's the reality of, okay, they got Barton under contract for 5 years, right? So this is his second year. They may start thinking, well, you know what? We can move Barton to left tackle when Wirfs plays his 10 years and he's starting to, you know, fade out. Jason Light has got to be tickled by the flexibility of these guys and picking Michael Jordan up off the street, and the guy starts and does okay. Nobody was screaming, oh, the guy's a train wreck.
And Lee, that could go to your point about Wirfs, you know, future health issues with bone on bone. They could be thinking like Barton in the post-Wirfs scenario.
That's something I really don't want to think about.
Yeah, we don't want to
think about that. But it's reality, yeah.
It's really fascinating stuff, Ira, what's going on here.
You think that win Sunday gives them flexibility about letting Wirfs maybe they were thinking about week three, and maybe now it's week four? You think that could affect anything?
It's a little early. I don't know.
I mean, what if they win Monday night?
Well, I don't think they're stupid enough to rush him. I would hope not.
Fine if they started 0-2, they might feel a little
That's
pressure.
That's a little different.
It's still a fine line. I'll agree with you from this standpoint of what's their record in the division, right? Because they know they got to win the division, and this division is obviously terrible. So I just hope the Bucks play the way they should and get that 3-4-game division lead with 2-3 games to play so you can just – see some other players.
It's nice to win when you are far from your best.
Oh, that's great.
Far from your best.
That's what good teams do. So I'm going to back up Steve a second here. He focused on it more than I did, about how the running game looked like garbage, both against the Steelers in the preseason and Sunday in Atlanta. And I'm starting to have flashbacks. Bowles' first year as the head coach. The offense wasn't clicking in preseason, and it never clicked. That season never did click. Even with Tom Brady, looked real herky jerky.
Brady wasn't himself that year, Lee. He wasn't.
No, but still, it was just uneven. Is the best way I can say.
Well, to the Bucks' credit, McLaughlin missed, and it's actually I didn't know this until the other day. It is pronounced McLaughlin, not McLaughlin. So I had a friend growing up, Chris McLaughlin.
By any name, he screwed me in the fantasy league.
The Bucks lost 4 points because of the kicker.
Yeah.
So that means they should have scored 27 points without the benefit of a turnover. Now, that's difficult. The National Football League scoring was low in the league, yes, over the weekend.
Except for Baltimore and Buffalo.
So I think the offense, the point I'm trying to make is that they scored a lot of points, and it wasn't because the defense gave them
I didn't think they did a great job of spreading the ball around. I mean, I don't think a tight end caught a pass.
No tight ends.
Did Rashad White catch one pass?
Rashad White caught one pass. Yeah. You hear coaches say, we got to get this guy the ball more. Got to get this guy the ball more. Rashad White had two carries, both of them good.
Yes.
Both of them successful runs. One, he looked real quick and, you know, made a move and hit the hole, got 8 yards or whatever. And Sean Tucker, everybody wants Sean Tucker, more Sean Tucker. We didn't see more Sean Tucker. So Bucky was struggling. They didn't hand it to somebody else to try to get a spark that I saw significantly. So I didn't like that part of it.
By the way, I like the punter, Lee. He did a good job. And I expect McLaughlin or McLaughlin, I don't care what you call him. Wait, he'll bounce back. I'm not going to lose faith in this guy. Right,
well, let's hope so, yeah.
But kickers are funny, Lee.
Funny how?
They amuse me?
Yeah,
that didn't amuse me.
It was the whole league, I think, kickers were off this week.
Well, look at the Atlanta guy. I mean, he's beside himself.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
What do you make of Todd Bowles saying, point blank, Zion McCollum dropped 2 interceptions, Jamel Dean dropped 1?
I like it. I like him raising the accountability, and I agree with him. I thought they did have their hands on some balls, Lee. They ain't ball hawks at this point.
If they were, they'd be receivers. that is a tried and true axiom of the football.
Can I see Benjamin Morrison out there, Lee? What am I going to see?
He's got to be healthy first.
And I want him out there by week 4 against the Eagles.
I'm not chomping at the bit for him to get on the field unless Dean's hurt.
He's got a knack for coming up with footballs, Steve. I want to see it.
There was a video, I wish I would have saved it, I saw over the weekend. Pretty sure it was college. Guy caught a pass on maybe 15 or 10-yard line. And the cornerback, it wasn't terrible coverage, but the cornerback was on him. He didn't even try to tackle. He was swinging for that freaking ball. If this guy would have just wrapped up and tackled the SOB, he would have been down on the 7-yard line. Who knows what happens after that, right? Cuckoo, ca-choo. But no, he had to go for that almighty takeaway. And the guy scores a touchdown, drags him in the end zone. I just wanted to punch the TV
screen. I know Buck fans don't want to hear this, Steve, but I thought Penix played a pretty good game yesterday.
Yes.
He made some plays.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Bucks.
He even ran.
He's going to be a problem.
Successfully.
He's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But that's how quarterbacks play against the Bucs defense. That's how they, 20, that's what
27
they do.
27 completions, right? Yeah, you know.
Yeah, high completion. Look, they dropped back to pass 42 times. They sacked them once. That's miserable. The goal is like 1 out of 12. One out of 10, I think, is the goal. So one out of 42, that's not what they want. Nobody walked away from that game saying, oh, they really battered Michael Penix. You know, they put a hurting on him.
Yeah.
But we wanted the win, which is just fantastic.
Terrible loss for the Falcons, Lee.
Hey, what did you think, Todd Bowles, 4th and 1, early in the game, 36-yard line. They're down 7-0. The offense has done nothing to that point. And he goes for it with his favorite toy on the sidelines, the punter, Riley Dixon. And they drop back to pass. What are your thoughts on that?
I'll say this without equivocation, Lee. 2-3 years ago, that would have never happened.
You're absolutely correct.
That would have never happened.
You're absolutely correct. I think we're before.
This might be the evolution of Todd Bowles.
That's a better word than I was going to use. We're before our own eyes the last few months, including Sunday, we're watching a transformation of a coach.
That wasn't Grizzard's call. That was Bowles' call.
Well, it had to be Bowles' call. And it started, I think, when you guys were down in Palm Beach at the owners' meetings, and Bowles, I have no problem drafting a wide receiver. It's about scoring points.
Yeah, I never heard him say that before.
And then we saw the fourth down call.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, after the game, both he and Mayfield and also Ibuka, we didn't come here for overtime.
Remind me what happened on that fourth down play. What happened?
Mayfield dropped back to pass, put the ball in a tight window to Mike Evans, about a 5-yard gain.
So it was 4th and 3, right?
Fourth and 1.
Oh, fourth and 1.
Okay. And Mayfield held the ball probably a hair longer, if you're watching the film like I did, a hair longer than he should have, but it was not the easiest play in the world.
You know what I don't like?
They got it.
It's a big trend in the NFL.
But that led to a long drive. Like, it was 12, 13 plays, and they got a field goal, and that settled the offense down.
It did. One thing that bothers me, and I don't really understand it, 4th and 1, and you see it a lot. What the hell are you doing in a shotgun?
Thank you.
I don't like it.
I see that every Saturday. Every Saturday.
Give me the threat of a run. Give me the threat.
Not only that, are you going to hand the ball off 5 yards deep? I mean, give me a break.
I don't get that, Steve. I don't really get it.
I absolutely agree with Ira. Here's Raheem's story for you.
All right. Hey, by the way, he could be in trouble. At the end of the year, he could be in trouble.
It wouldn't shock me. Now, it's going to sound like a Penix story, but it's actually Raheem's story. On the broadcast, this came from Vilma and Kenny Albert, but it came from the production meeting with Penix. You know, they're saying, hey, you're from the Tampa Bay area. How come you aren't a Bucs fan? He goes, well, I was too young to remember their first Super Bowl, and when I was growing up in high school, they were always losing. Okay, understandable. Right. Lost decade, I get that. Who wants to follow a loser when you're a kid and get beat up at school every week? I get that. But he might want to be careful saying that out loud, because the guy who launched the lost decade is his coach.
Well said, Lee. Well said.
And his defensive line coach, Jaquez Smith, was another face of the lost decade, one of the better faces, but they've got other guys there on the staff, too. So SiriusXM NFL Radio, Todd Bowles was on Monday. And one thing he said was that, talking about Mayfield's day, he said he's told him before, if you throw 3 touchdown passes and don't turn the ball over, whatever else you do, we're probably going to win. Doesn't matter. And now, he didn't say it doesn't matter, but he said that if you do that, any day you do that, we're going to win a hell of a lot of games. And that's what happened, even though outside of those plays, Mayfield wasn't really that great.
My response to that is very simply, I thought Atlanta could have had a couple of picks.
Mm-hmm.
Those throws over the middle, they're dangerous. And he's got a tendency when he gets picked, those are the throws. Mayfield played okay, Lee. I know he had 3 touchdown passes. He was the leading rusher in the game, Lee. 39 yards. Leading rusher. Threw some gorgeous passes, but he also misfired quite a bit.
I used a Jesse the Body Ventura reference.
Jesse the Body Ventura?
Jesse the Body Ventura one time.
You could have said Hulk Hogan.
Well, Hulk Hogan wasn't involved in this. That's why I didn't mention Hulk Hogan. Jesse the Body Ventura and Vince McMahon were doing some long-forgotten wrestling match, but I remember this. And, of course, Vince McMahon's always playing the straight man, and the match was won because the heel used a foreign object, you know, the old popular foreign object. And Vince McMahon was irate, and he railed about how it's cheating and immoral. And Jesse the Body Ventura said, McMahon, it's called getting the job done. And that's just what Mayfield did. He wasn't pretty. He didn't have a great game, but he got the job done.
Yeah, I'm not knocking Mayfield up. The only guys to throw 3 touchdown passes this week were Herbert and Aaron Rodgers.
Herbert looked damn good.
And that's
Look,
it.
They needed a go-ahead touchdown, and he got it. He got it.
Yeah,
so,
they won.
Yeah, they won. Yeah.
Now, fun stuff. 1-0. The division looks bad, which is great. The Saints, it's probably the best that they could do, and it wasn't enough at home, and Carolina looked terrible.
Carolina looked terrible.
I watched the first half of that, the Todd Bowles coaching tree ball, and yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
And I still say Mayfield's running is underpublicized. It's underrated. I think those third down plays are critical. He's very consistent in these third down plays.
It's a weapon. He doesn't do it that often, but when he does do it, it's a weapon.
He's never going to be mentioned with the Josh Allens and the
Kyler
Jacksons.
Murray, yeah.
And he shouldn't be. It's effective. It's effective. And he did take some shots Sunday. I'm not thrilled with that.
So we got the evolution of Todd Bowles. You talked about it with that call on fourth and one.
What was the yard line?
36-yard line. First quarter?
No way 3 years ago he does that. No way. No way.
3 years ago, does he pull a shakeup like this on his offensive line at the last minute?
Probably not.
Is trust involved? Like he trusts you guys can pull it off?
He's got more confidence in himself. He knows he's got the Glazers behind him with the contract. That's big.
It is
contract
big.
Contract always speaks.
Yeah, contract. What else? We saw, I think, an evolution of Todd Bowles pulling Sarassier Dennis off the field.
Yes.
I think that's an evolution.
Talking about interceptions and naming guys that didn't have them, that could have grabbed them. Otherwise, in years past, he might have talked in general. Mm-hmm. Hey, we could have had our kid. No, now he's mentioning players' names. Not bad.
All right, so I got to give a little more credit. I don't think we give enough to Ira on the Jamel Dean situation. Now, you said, a while ago, I don't think this guy's going to be on the team. And then you were like, all right, he's going to make it, but I don't think
Then you had the Morrison injury, Lee.
We did our over-under on when he's going to be replaced, and you came in early. And now it looks like, going back to the money end of this and all the things you just talked about, Ira, it looks like Todd Bowles is going to have a very quick hook on Dean when Morrison's healthy. That's what it looks like.
Wait, isn't this a weird situation where you already told the guy he's not going to be welcome next season? Who does that?
I don't know if they necessarily said that, but the implication, I'm sure, is there.
Steve, you tell a guy you're not going to be part of the 2026 Bucks? Who does that?
A lot of teams.
It doesn't happen that often, especially for a guy who's been here for so long. But Dean, he was a happy guy in the locker room. I talked to him 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, and asked him, hey, you're the one who said feels like a Super Bowl team. You want to elaborate? And he did.
Lately, I'm gonna give you 2 more weeks, and then you're going to say McCollum's better than Dean. I'll give you another 2 weeks.
Not there yet.
No, you're not there yet. I was there. I was there last year.
Good start by Jacob Parrish. Couple of missteps, but he made a couple of plays.
He's around the ball.
I thought underrated. Rewatching the game, Tyke Smith had a better game than I thought.
Levante, quiet.
Sure.
Really quiet.
Yeah.
I want more out of Kancey on Monday night.
All right, Ari. Yeah, Kancey, a goose egg on the stat sheet. It happens. He was part of that excellent run defense. Not going to take anything away, but he played a lot of snaps and didn't have the game that he wanted. He did sit quietly at his locker for a long time. I think he wasn't necessarily happy with himself, but I'm not saying he was sulking. Just for whatever reason, he was there an awfully long time.
Did you talk to Jordan? Because he was right next to Barton.
No, I looked for him. He cleared in a hurry.
He looked like he didn't want to talk.
He didn't want to talk. Yeah. He cleared out in a hurry. He's not the most talkative guy, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Barton was giddy. It was a happy locker room for sure.
Best news of all, you never heard Jordan's name mentioned. Beautiful.
Well, the best news of all was a win.
Yeah.
All right, Ira, final thought for today. Obviously, we got a game Monday night, but we'll be back long before that.
I don't know. I think as ragged as they played and erratic as they played, I'm a little more encouraged than I was a week ago about this team. Winning a game on the road when you didn't play particularly well. I'm a little more encouraged. I'm sticking with my 11-6. See a path to 11 now, Lee? A little path?
I don't know what to think. You know, if I'm just going to go by week one, I saw a lot of eyebrow-raising things that didn't set well with me. Specifically the run games, you would say, Steve. That was one of several. But it's week one. Who really knows? They won. And they found a way to win on the road against a division opponent. Let's calm down. This isn't the 2022 Chiefs that they played yesterday. An average team.
Raheem's got to be, he didn't sleep.
Great
last
W.O.
Night.
You'll have fun. You go online, Google some of the stuff that's going on in Atlanta, some of the blogs and the comments.
Oh my gosh.
They're going crazy.
The videos on TikTok of Falcons fans going mental is great.
Raheem's the villain? Raheem?
No, Cuckoo Cuckoo.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Young Wei Koo, and, they've had enough of him. And, Raheem, they didn't like some
they're
things.
They're not killing panics. No,
what are they going to do to him? Yeah. What are they going to do to him?
I haven't seen a video yet where they're screaming about Raheem, but there was a Bucks fan that showed it. And this Bucks fan, obviously, before the missed field goal, was upset. Bucks win, and then they show Raheem on the screen. You suck!
All right, I'll leave you with this, Steve. And it's not something that I want to say, Lee, but it happens to be the truth. From what I can tell on Joe Bucks fan and comments, underneath the podcast, underneath my column or whatever, there's a lot of people that are still taking pot shots at Bowles. I don't think that win did anything to win over Buck fans for both.
Short of a Super Bowl appearance.
Even though we went for it on 4th and 3.
Short of 4th and 1. Short of a Super Bowl appearance, he's going to have a large number of detractors.
There's still a lot of sniping about him, Steve.
The snipers are always louder.
And
that's
I don't think it's just reduced to Joe Buck's fan. I think that's a general sentiment. He's still got to win these people over.
All right, Sage. Look, you've won us over. We'll see you next time, Ira. That's a wrap. Bucks 1-0. Lead the division. It's on to February.